Okay, well, I would like you to please to turn. Actually, turn to Luke 18. That is actually the first scripture we're going to turn to. I've been spending some time in the Gospels, just reading and enjoying, and I got so blessed reading, and that's where we're going to get to. We're going to get to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. But I was reading that chapter, I was reminded of a time not too long after I really learned that the Word of God was the will of God and began to have the Scriptures opened up to me. And how thrilling the first time I understood the 15th chapter of Luke. It just thrilled me. It was a wonderful teaching, and so I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun to share that this morning. So that's where we're going to get to. Okay. I did want to explain a couple of things before we do. We're going to be considering some parables. Okay. Now, some of you may be aware of this, but for those who aren't, a parable is a figure of speech. All right? And it is probably one of the most difficult figures of speech in God's Word. And that's for a reason. There are things about parables that are important to understand. In a parable, the story must be believable. Understood? If it's a fantasy or things that, you know, rocks speaking or trees walking, that kind of thing, that's a fable. And then that needs to be explained. Do you follow? But a parable are things in life that are believable. A sower went out to what? Sow. That simple? So that's important to understand. Another thing that you need to understand about a parable is that it has a main point. It is not that everything in the parable means something necessarily, but it has a main point. Now, this is where the difficulty comes in. Sometimes the main point of the parable is stated. After the parable, you'll see, therefore. Okay? And that's fun. There you go. There are other times where it's not. Sometimes it's in a more remoter context. Context is really key to helping with parables. But it might be something that is explained later on. There's a wonderful teaching that Jim Nichols did a few weeks back. Ears to Hear, I think it's called, or Hearing.
Hearing,
yes. And really, just so simple, and it's just beautiful. And it lays out a parable and the result of those who heard and those who really wanted to hear. And how that was handled. Just beautiful. We don't have time to do all that today, but that being said, you have, at times, parables will, they'll state their purpose. And that will help to understand the parable. We're going to look at an example of one in just a moment. Also, the situation. Pay attention to the situation. Where we're going to go in Luke 15, it's kind of a situational thing. And who he is speaking it to begins to make clear what it is he's teaching. Do you understand? So those are just some things regarding parables that are, you know, kind of key. In Luke 18, I want to look at this one. This is an example of a stated purpose. Luke 18, and I should go there, huh? Here it is. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And what? They despised others. Isn't that something? See, this is the opposite of humility. They thought themselves righteous. See? And they looked to themselves, you know, for that righteousness. And all others, they thought little of. They were nothing. They despised them. Okay? So that's the stated purpose of this parable that we're going to read. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. I want to take a minute. Just kind of put you in, you know, their sandals, so to speak. And this is going to benefit us when we go back to Luke 15. The Pharisees were considered the guardians of the law. They were the legalists of the time. They were the protectors of Mosaic law. Follow? That's how they saw themselves. Publicans is it's kind of a generic word. It was used of tax collectors in the New Testament anyway. It's used of tax collectors as well as customs folks. The way it worked, they were collectors of tribute to Rome. Okay? And they were among the most despised of people, and especially so in Judea. They were despised because it was a very, very corrupt system. The way it worked is Rome determined what the customs or duties would be. They needed to get this much into their treasury, into their publica. That's where the word publicans comes from. Into their publica. They would hire very wealthy, elite people in the different areas. These then elite, rich people would hire managers to make sure that this amount was received into the treasury at Rome. Okay? Now, that's what was required. But what these publicans did is there was, because it was very arbitrary. Your product is worth this much. You need to pay me this much. And it was arbitrary. And there was an incredible amount of corruption that went on. Amazing amount of corruption. And hush money. Because if that publican reported you, they would come and take all your property and all your stuff. And that went on all the time. So you had to pay hush money. See? Do you see why they were so despised? In addition, in Judea, they were collecting taxes for the Romans. Ooh. So you were not only slime by trade, see, you were a traitor. You were a traitor to Israel. On top of that, the scribes had determined, most of them anyway, had determined that paying tribute to Rome was contrary to God's word. That's why they tempted Jesus. The tribute. Who do we pay tribute to? And Jesus said, give me the coin. Because they were tempting him. Give me the coin. Whose picture is that? Oh, they render under Caesar what belongs to Caesar. They didn't know what to do. That ended that conversation. And you see little glimpses of this in the Word. There, you know what? We're going to come back here. We're going to end up in Luke 15. But I want to take you and show you just a couple of things real quick. Look at chapter 3 of Luke. And then we're going to go to Luke 19. You see little glimpses of this in the Word regarding these publicans. Luke 3, verse 13. They came to John in verse 12. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what do we do? You know, they knew how they were looked at. What do we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is what? Appointed you. See? Isn't that something? Because that was what they did. They would exact more than what was appointed. There's another record. And understanding some of these things helps you to understand what we're going to read. There's another record in Luke 19. And this is a record that most of you, I think, are familiar with. In chapter 19, verse 1, it says, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And there was a man named Zacchaeus, a wee little man was he, which was chief among the what? Okay, so they had a hierarchy, too. So he was chief. He managed a bunch of these publicans. And he was what? Rich. So can you imagine how he was looked at among the Judeans? It doesn't matter what he was really about, which we're going to see in a moment. But can you imagine a rich man who was chief among these slime bag traders? He was their boss. Right? That's who Zacchaeus was. And he was short to boot. Anyway. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran, therefore, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. This is interesting, that the sycamore, his climbing up into a sycamore tree actually represented some humility. It's kind of interesting. But anyway. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Wow. Wow. Jesus was going to go to this slime bag's house, this rich, do you understand? Publican. How this looked. It's really something. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus did. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. No quarter given. Not to these publicans. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord. Isn't that interesting? Zacchaeus. Behold, Lord. The half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, that's what I was talking about. That's that hush money. It was very common. It would be false accusation. Because the guy wouldn't pay the hush money, so that publican would go to his boss and say, this guy's stealing. And then they would come in and take all his stuff. Well, with Zacchaeus, when that happened with him, and he found out about it, he paid him back fourfold. He's quite a man. The half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation coming to your house. Isn't that wonderful? For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. See? So, now, I want you to go back to chapter 15. And this helps us to understand what's going on here. And we're going to start in verse 1. And these first couple of verses are what open up what these parables are about. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That's something. He had been speaking. And it was the publicans and sinners that came near to hear. They wanted to learn. See? That's something. and the Pharisees and scribes. Now, I explained to you what the Pharisees were. The scribes, they were the interpreters of the Mosaic Law. Okay? They were the interpreters. There were Pharisees. As a Pharisee, you could be a scribe. As a scribe, you could be a Pharisee. But a scribe was one, he was very learned in the Scripture. And he was called upon to interpret Scripture. Okay? So, the Pharisees and scribes murmured. They murmured. This murmuring is a complaining. And it's used with the word dia, so it's a following through. They weren't just, it wasn't just like, they weren't just thinking it. You follow? They were saying it. They were saying it. You know, this man. So, this man receives sinners, and he eats with them. He eats with them. Isn't that something? What they thought of themselves. See, and that's what religion does to people. It will. That's what it'll do to people. Once you go to the flesh, and that's what these men did. You remember the parable we just read about them? About the parable of the Pharisee and the publican? Well, we didn't go to that one, did we? That's a great parable. The publican was righteous in himself. But you know what? Maybe we'll look at that in a minute. Anyway, so you got the publicans and scribes. They look on these people with derision. Jesus Christ spake this parable unto them. Them who? Right, Pharisees and the scribes. Now he's talking to them. This is beautiful. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he what? Till he find it. Now, you know, just to help understand this, and well, in their culture, the shepherd, a good shepherd, would lay his life down for his sheep. He knew the sheep by name. Isn't that something? And the sheep would know the shepherd's voice. So when that one sheep out of 100 was missing, the shepherd knew it was missing. That was a big part of their culture. The shepherd would feed the sheep, protect the sheep, watch over the sheep. And the thing about sheep is, they're helpless. They're dumber than a bag of rocks. They need to be led. They really do. They don't do good on their own. They need a shepherd. You know, a sheep without a shepherd is done. He's not going to last long. Isn't that something? So this sheep was lost. This sheep was out on its own. And this shepherd left the 99 to go after this one. And remember who he's talking to. Remember who he's talking to. And remember what these men thought. See, of people other than themselves. And when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents or changes, more than over 99 just persons, which what? Need no repentance. And that's how the Pharisees saw themselves. They saw themselves as righteous men who needed no repentance. You understand? So Jesus Christ is showing them something. These men knew the Scriptures. They didn't know God. They knew nothing of God and what God was really about. See? Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, didn't he? See, why did he invite Zacchaeus to his home? Why was he eating with publicans and sinners? Because God wanted him to. It's who God is. See? And that's what he's teaching here. Then he says in verse 8, here's another parable. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and see diligently till she find it. Now, I know most of you are aware of this, but This is a there's an Orientalism in this verse. The 10 pieces of silver were given to the betrothed woman. This would happen during betrothal. And these 10 pieces of silver would be given to the woman. And they were of great importance, not necessarily of great monetary value, but of great significance. Because that silver represented her affection for her husband, her acceptance of him as a husband, her affection and respect for him. And these were, as a matter of fact, they were so considered so sacred in Judean culture and in Eastern culture, they would not be accepted to fulfill a debt. They'd take anything else. They'd wipe you out. But not the 10 pieces of silver because of their significance. Isn't that something? And that 10 pieces of silver would be worn on very rare occasions, you know, a 25th anniversary or, you know, something like that. And they would, sometimes it would be clipped to the hair, sometimes they would have this weird-looking hat with a thing in the center, and it would dangle from that, okay? And that's the only time they'd wear it. Otherwise, it was kept safe. Well, this woman, she lost one. She must have had it out, maybe looking at it, I don't know. But what this would have meant is that it would have been a great disgrace to her husband, her having lost this. And he would have interpreted it in their culture as her lack of respect and affection for him, and it likely would result in a divorce. She would then be on her own without a husband. And in that culture, there wasn't a lot of feminism going on. You know what I'm saying? She was done. See? So now do you understand the significance of that one piece of silver? How important it is? Who's he talking to? Yeah. See? Who thought that these people were nothing. What Jesus Christ is doing in these parables, he's likening these things unto these people whom the Pharisees thought was nothing. Do you understand? See? So, she lost that piece of silver. And when she found it, she called her friends, her neighbors, let's party! I found it! See, I have found the piece which I had lost. And her husband didn't even need to know about it. She just had a party, had the girls over, and they rejoiced. Isn't that great? See, it was a tremendous thing. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. He makes that same point. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So he does it. Okay? And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. He was an idiot. He was. He was an idiot. He took what his father gave him, you know, and he blew it. It was his fault. And he went and joined himself. Oh, I'm sorry. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Again, let's just take a minute here. Remember who he's talking to. Scribes and the Pharisees. Okay? Now, pigs were considered unclean. You couldn't even touch one. I mean, it had gotten to that point. So he's using, in this parable, this young man. And it's interesting. So far in this parable, you got a father. And you got two sons. You're going to see that. We got two sons. One took what the father had given him and blew it. Okay? And so he ended up in want, attaches himself to a citizen, and this citizen sends him to take care of his pigs. Now, in the East, pigsties were kept outside of the city and upwind. Okay? That's how that worked. One who fed and took care of the hogs was counted as one of the pigs. That's right. So if a man said, I have 100 pigs, he was including the one who took care of them. Because he was, you know, he took care of the pigs. Isn't that something? Now, if it came to how many pigs you have to sell, it would be 99. That's something. I got 99 pigs to sell out of my 100. But that was the culture. It may seem harsh to us, but it is what it was. So, but it's important to understand these things and understanding this parable. See, this is the degree that we're talking. This man was counted as a pig, who to the Pharisees, boom, that's as nasty as it gets. So he went, joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled, he would gladly, the word fain means he would gladly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man, and this no man is interesting in the Greek, it's not one. Not one gave to him in this parable. Not one. He was totally on his own with the pigs. Something? That's the degree to which his life had sunk in this parable. It just, you know, the point of it is here, this is pretty low. And when he came to himself, I love that. He came to himself. You know what? I know this is a parable, but I'll tell you, that was a great day for this man when he came to himself. He had a wealthy father and had gotten to the place in his life where it wouldn't have even been recognized remotely what his means really were, because he'd allowed himself to sink to this place. You ever hear such a thing? And that's what had happened. But got to the place in the parable here where he came to himself. He realized. He realized, what am I doing? How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That's what he was going to say. He had this thing prepared, ready to roll. This is what he's going to say to his father. Watch what happens. Remember who he's talking to. He's teaching him something. And he arose, and he came to his father. But yet, when he was a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, and what? He ran to him. Remember who he's talking to. What he's teaching. The father ran to this son. Who was just the lowest of the low. Who had gotten himself in this situation. And had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, this is so beautiful, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, father didn't even let him finish his prepared speech. There was more. He was going to ask his father, just make me like one of your servants. But the father stopped him. That's something. Didn't even let him finish. Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know, that ring represented the authority of the father. That's what that meant. It was a signet ring. And it would have had the family sign on it that represented the father's authority in that community. It wasn't just a ring to make him look good. He was accepting him fully back into the household. See? And Jesus is teaching these men who knew the scriptures but knew nothing about God. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. See? That's something? That was the heart. That was the heart. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Isn't that something? See? Now he had just shared two parables, and those parables both ended with the point being, there is a party in heaven when one repents. Right? Okay, this party isn't in heaven, but it's going to be at the house. So, this thy son was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, you picture these things, and it's a parable, I understand. But, you know, you picture it. The servants are like, oh God, what's going to happen here? Get the fatted calf. Bring the rope. Yeah, it hasn't been exciting. Anyway. His elder son was in the field, the older brother, here you go, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on? What does this mean? And he said unto him, your brother, pay attention, your brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he, the older brother, was angry and would not go in. He wouldn't go in. Didn't he realize how screwed up he is? Doesn't he realize what he's done? Isn't that something? It's quite a father. Father came out to him because he wouldn't go in. She said, pouting. Anyway. So his father comes out and treats him. He entreats him. And he answering said to his father, look, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Who's he thinking about? Yeah, who are the Pharisees thinking about? Yeah. But as soon as this, my brother, is that what it says? No, says thy son. He's not even my brother. It's interesting, isn't it? Your son. And is this your son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots? You've killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is what? That's something. See, and what Jesus Christ is communicating here is the Father's heart. The Father being God. See, who the Pharisees and the scribes supposedly represented. supposedly stood for. And Jesus Christ is teaching them who God really is. Isn't that beautiful? See? Now, whether they understood, I highly doubt it. But it's there to see, isn't it? It's there to see. It's a tremendous truth. Tremendous truth. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians 5, where, let's go there. Let's just close there. Let's read one more. You know, Hebrews talks about approaching the throne of grace, that we might find grace and what?
Mercy.
And mercy in time of need. Yeah. A very simplistic way to perhaps look at that is grace being that, of course, that unmerited favor that our loving Father bestows upon us. Mercy, on the other hand, is maybe we deserve a beating. See, it's our fault. Isn't that something? And yet, God's grace and mercy, it doesn't run out. He's always ready. See, it's just beautiful. 2 Corinthians, and you see it here, chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's how it should read. And all things are of God. This all things are the new things. That new which has come is of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And let's learn about a little about that reconciliation. See? You know, in that parable, that son who lived out in Hogville was reconciled with his father, wasn't he? And you know, they call it the parable of the prodigal son, I think. It's really, it should be, if you're going to do that, call it the prodigal sons, plural. Because they both kind of had their heads where it shouldn't have been. But really, it's the forgiving Father. That's what he's teaching. The point of it is, man, he was lost. Now he's found. See? And the Father was so blessed that his Son has been found. So these new things are of God. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their what? Their trespasses unto them. See? Isn't that something? Very contrary to what we saw the Pharisees and the scribes. See? That's how they conducted themselves. They were always imputing trespasses on the people. That's how they lorded over people. There's none of that in the body of Christ. None of that. Jesus Christ himself didn't impute trespasses on the people. Isn't that something? He was in the business of reconciling. He knew the world was screwed up. He didn't need to keep score. God's heart was to fix it. And that's what he did. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Isn't that something? And that's the word we speak. See, we can do that. We can do that. We can reconcile people back to God by teaching them about Jesus Christ. Now, not everybody's going to believe. You know, that's okay. Sometimes you speak God's word to people, and down the road, they come to themselves, so to speak, and they realize. You know? Yeah. So that's not our job to figure that stuff out. So, amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to close with prayer.